You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today we will look into Romans chapter 15 as we are endeavoring to talk about missions. Turn your Bibles with me for a while. Romans chapter 15. We will be reading from verse 18 down to verse 21. So we will cover a few verses here. It says here in verse 18, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed." In verse 19, it says here, "By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ." Then it says here, "And thus, therefore then, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." Well, I'm pretty excited about this because I think in the next coming years, some of you will become cross-cultural missionary. Amen? Clear na yung calling for some of us, kulang na lang po obedience. All right, and that is what we're going to be talking about here today. So first things first, just for us to understand this, in our context, what do we mean when we say mission? This is just for the sake of us being on the same page, for us to understand what the preacher is talking about. In our context, what do we mean when we say missions? I have to say that because different dictionaries might define what mission is. For us, Victory Dumaguete, Victory Philippines perhaps, and the rest of the churches in the world, it's basically like this. When we say missions, it is talking about what? The task of preaching the gospel and discipling the nations. Every time we say missions, kung ilitok na to ang missions, it's always intertwined with the word nations. Clear? When you say nations, you think about missions. I have to say that because sometimes when we think about nations, we think about vacation. That is possible. That's totally fine. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, when it comes to advancing God's kingdom as believers, I'd like for us to understand that these two are intertwined. Every time you're on your bed, every time you're driving, every time you're having a meal, and you think about missions, think about nations. Every time you watch CNN, every time you watch Fox News, every time you think about nations, always think about missions. Is this clear enough? All right, so missions and nations, these two are intertwined. Now, to further talk about this, allow me to say a few things for a while. When we say missionaries, we may be talking about different things. One, when you say cross-cultural missions or cross-cultural missionary, what does it mean? Someone who's not doing missions locally, right? Because you cross-culture. You may be talking about a Filipino who is a missionary in Vietnam. Catch it? We may be talking about a Cambodian missionary who's doing a missionary work in Tanzania. That's cross-cultural missions, cross-cultural missionary. Sometimes a cross-cultural missionary is a frontier missionary in a sense that you're talking about a cross-cultural missionary who is going into a nation or a people group who has never heard of Christ or Christianity yet. That is a frontier missionary. We have seen thousands of frontier missionaries from the West who went to the East, to Asia in the last 100 years. But guess what? There are still nations and people groups. There are still nations and tribes and people out there who has never heard the gospel. Come on now. And perhaps God has called us or is calling us to be a frontier cross-cultural missionary. Now, we're not just talking about the principles that we find in Romans chapter 15. We will find that out later. The principles that we will find here is not just applicable to those who are doing missionary work in the nations of the world. Because as Christians, all of us here who are in Negros Oriental, who are in Dumaguete, we are local missionaries. Come on now. Meaning to say, your neighbor, your schoolmate is your mission field. Your office is your mission field. So at the end of the day, all of us will stand before the presence of God and we will give an account as to how we lived out this calling that God has given us. Are you folks catching this? So this message is not just for current and would-be cross-cultural missionary. This is for every single one of us. So there's something that I'd like for us to embrace as a local church. And this is what I'd like for us to know. Missions in this church is not just a church program. This isn't just, oh, it's Mission Sunday in Victory. Every October, they always have this Mission Sunday. This is not just a church program. But this is the calling of the church, the calling of every Christian. So ito pong gusto ko maintindihan nyo. Every time there's a calling, attached to it is obedience. And every time someone disobeys, attached to it is sin. So when we disobey, we sin. So when we disobey, we do not honor God. Are you folks catching this? Missions is not just a program, but it is the calling of the church. I certainly believe this. I want to put out a bold statement that I think is so scriptural and so biblical. And this is the statement. Only a Bible-reading Christian will have a heart for the nations. I didn't say Bible-believing because we are all Bible-believing Christians here. But only a Bible-reading Christian will have a heart and a burden for the nations of the world. So that tells me that if we are a Christian who do not have a burden or a heart for the nations of the world, could be that we're not reading our Bibles. Only a Bible-reading Christian will have a heart for the nations of the world. So if you consider this your local church, if you consider Victory, if you embrace Victory as your local church, let me tell you this, it's either you're in or out. Because even as a local church, we will step on the gas and accelerate further when it comes to God's mission for us to disciple the nations. At the end of the day, this is not about preference. Gusto nila mag-missions. No, this is not about preference, but this is about obedience. Let me say further, if we do not have a heart for cross-cultural missions, please allow me to say this. I will certainly doubt the authenticity of our faith. Why do I say that? Because if nations do not cross your mind and burden your heart, then feel free to ask, am I a Christian? Ang totoong Kristiyano po, iniisip ang nations of the world. Ang totoong Kristiyano may burden for other people in different nations to hear the gospel. David Platt said, missions is the purpose of the church. The reason why I said that only a Bible-believing Christian will have a heart for the nations is simply because if you understand biblical theology, if you understand the entire story of the Bible, it's a story of missions. Like what I said, the reason why you are here because someone came to the Philippines and preached the gospel here. Someone went to Dumaguete in 2001 and preached the gospel here, planted a church, and here we are. That is why when it comes to Victory Dumaguete, we found out that 20% of this church would leave the city every single year. And they go to different places. They go to London. They go to Jordan. They go to different nations of the world. Isn't that a setup from the Lord? So my prayer for us is this. If God might bring you somewhere in the future, act and think like a missionary. That God will use you to plant churches in the different nations of the world. Amen. Let's go into this now. Romans chapter 15, verse 18 to 21. Here's what we found out. This is an amazing passage and set of verses that we have. Because while we were studying this, I realized you'd actually understand or embrace a theology of mission just by looking at Romans chapter 15. And look at this one. First, in Romans chapter 15, 18, it's talking about what? The foundation of missions. Afterwards, it's going to talk about the purpose of mission, the methodology of mission, and the model of mission afterwards in verse 19. And verse 20 and 21, it talks about the objective and premise of missions. Don't worry, we're going to be quick on this one. Let's go to the first one, the foundation of missions. It says here, for I will not venture to speak of anything. Here's what Paul was writing to the Roman believers. He says, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. First things first, he says, I will not venture to speak of anything. Amazing, right? For Paul to say that. What does it mean? This is the foundation of missions. It gives us a picture, friends, that missions is streamlined. Mission has a focus. Why do we say that? Because in our generation right now, missions has become so diluted. In our time right now, missions could be going to Africa and working on a set of clean tap water for the village, and that is missions. Well, I'm not taking anything from that because that is actually missions. Missions in our generation right now could be going to Papua New Guinea and starting out a school for the kids. And people would say, that is mission. Well, true enough, that is mission. But at the end of the day, Paul is streamlining this. That he will not venture to speak of anything else. He starts telling us that missions has a focus. That it's not saying that all of these things are wrong. It's just that he says, I will not venture into any other thing. Meaning to say, I'm not even gonna go there. So what is the focus of missions? Here's the answer. The focus of missions is to speak not of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Meaning to say, at the end of the day, every single missionary will bring every single conversation to the cross. At the end of the day, missionary work is preaching the gospel. Yes, we will engage culture and community, but we haven't fully engaged someone until we've preached the gospel to them. Is this clear enough? This is so simple, so clear. Paul says, I'm not going to venture into anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. I have to say, the original intent of mission, you talk about Harvard, you talk about the great universities in the United States, you found out how these universities were founded. You'd come to understand that these were founded through missions because of missionary work or the desire to disciple the nation. So the original intent of missions is to preach the gospel. And here's what he says, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Catch it? Paul says through me. He didn't say by me. Paul brings with him such a massive resume. Such an extensive resume. At the end of the day, he understands that this is not about him. That he is just being used by God to be a channel of blessing to the nations of the world. Gives us a picture that when we become cross-cultural missionary in the future or even in our place right now, every time we talk to someone for 15 minutes, what impression do they have? Do they have an impression of how glorious Christ is or how great you are? Come on now. When it comes to prayer, look at this. When Paul says, through me, how does it translate when it comes to prayer? When it comes to prayer, it could be translated this way, that it doesn't mean, Lord, bless me, but it says, Lord, use me to be a blessing. The foundation of mission. Secondly, the purpose of mission. I love this. Here's what he says, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to bring the Gentiles to obedience, he says. This is what? The purpose of missions. The purpose of missions is to bring the Gentiles to obedience. Obedience to what? That's the question. What kind of obedience? Paul says, he writes to the Roman believers, the goal, the purpose is for us missionaries is to bring the Gentiles to believe. First, who are the Gentiles? The non-Jewish world. We would consider ourselves Gentiles. So the non-Jewish world are the Gentiles. Christianity started among them, the Jewish people. And now the task of Paul is to bring Christianity or preach Christ in the Gentile world with the goal of bringing them to obedience. So what kind of obedience are we talking about here? We find that in different verses in the book of Romans as well. Look at this one. Romans chapter 1 verse 5, it says here, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, look at this one, to bring about the obedience of faith. So this obedience, accordingly, is the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. Look at this one. Romans chapter 16, a chapter after our passage today. It says here, look at this. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writing, has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. Catch it? So the obedience that we're talking about here, the obedience that Paul is pertaining to here, is the obedience of faith. So here's the next question. What is the obedience of faith? And the answer to that is very simple. Faith in Jesus produces obedience in Jesus. So at the end of the day, it's still preaching the gospel. It's calling people to lordship, calling people to be saved, calling people to submit themselves under the lordship of Christ. And Paul says, as a missionary to the Gentile world, that is the purpose of missions. Is this clear enough? That is the calling that God has given the cross-cultural missionary. If you look at this, like what I said, if you understand, if we're reading our Bible, we would understand that this is a story of mission. Remember when Adam and Eve were created, they had a task. And what was the task? Whatever happens in the garden will be exported into all the world. That was the calling of Adam and Eve. That them being in a covenant relationship, whatever it is that they do and whatever it is that they accomplish in that garden will be exported into the world. The blessing will be exported into the world. Of course, we understand what happened. They failed. When Jesus came and accomplished so many things among his disciples, he gave a command in Matthew chapter 28. Go into what? Into all the nations of the world. All right? So at the end of the day, we would understand that this is a story of missions. Let's look at the third one, the methodology of missions. As a Christian, I have been called to bring the Gentiles to obedience of faith. Called to bring them to obedience. Now, how in the world am I going to do that? Can I use my Instagram? Can I use my Twitter? Can I use my journal, my diary? Certainly so we can use that. The methodology that Paul writes here is this one. Look at this. It says here, by word and deed. Love it. By word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God. How are we to preach the gospel? By word and deed. Through our actions. So meaning to say, no problem with starting a new school in the different nations of the world. We just have to make sure that it is accompanied with the preaching of the gospel. Sounds familiar, friends. Sounds like Silliman. Come on now. Started as a school with the intention to be able to what? To preach the gospel in this city, in this part of the nation of the world. So by word and deed, and by the power of signs and wonders, come on now, and by the power of the Spirit of God. And then he gives out a model of mission, he says, in verse 19, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Wow. Hindi po nagmamayabang si Paul. What he's talking about here, he says, so that from Jerusalem, Illyricum is modern-day Albania, which, by the way, is a Muslim nation right now. So I hope that puts a burden in our heart as well. You guys read in the Bible, Asia Minor? You guys read that? Nababasa niyo ba yan when you read your Bible? Asia Minor. We always encounter that. You know what? That is present-day Turkey, which is a Muslim nation as well. Here's what happened. He says, from Jerusalem, he says, all of these things are already covered. Friends, wala tong Cebu Pacific, ha? Walang Cebgo yan. That's either by foot or by boat or by sandals. So Paul says, I've covered these places, Jerusalem, all the way around. So all of these places, in short, the Mediterranean world, they've already been a recipient of the gospel of Christ. Amazing when one man becomes passionate for the gospel. Let's talk about Negros Oriental for a while. We're not divided by sea. Isn't it? We have motorcycles. We have cars. Guess what? We have Facebook. So at the end of the day, perhaps looking at that as a model of missions, what are we doing with what we have? Who may believe or would rather believe that one of these days, we will have churches in Bayawan, in Tanhay, in Baiz, in San Carlos, in Kabangkalan. Kabangkalan, we're planting a church next year. January next year, we're planting a church in Kabangkalan. While I'm not from Negros, but I do understand something about Negros Oriental. For some reason, I realize that this is a place where a lot of leaders are born. There's just so much brilliant people in this place. That's why we're passionate to preach the gospel here. We also understand that Negros Oriental is one of the poorest regions in the Philippines. That's why we're eager to preach the gospel here. Friends, what is your mission field? Or is God calling you to be a cross-cultural missionary? If God is calling you to become a cross-cultural missionary, talk to someone, talk to us. Have yourself discipled, talk to your discipler if that is the case. Lastly, the objective of mission. It says here, and thus I make it my ambition, look at this one, to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. he would preach the gospel in these places and he would start thinking about other cities as well. Okay, may nagpipreach na ba ng gospel sa Tagbilaran? O meron na? Okay, meron na ba sa Panglao? Meron na ba sa Boracay? In the whole of Capiz, meron na ba? How about Malaysia? Okay, there's a church in Kuala Lumpur. There's a church in Penang. Is there a church in Kota Kinabalu in this area of Malaysia? You know what I'm talking about? How about in Holosulu in the Philippines? How about in Bungao, Tawi-Tawi? How about in Basilan? How about in Batanes? In the far-flung areas of the Philippines. Friends, at the end of the day, that is our calling. That is our role. He would preach the gospel not in places where Christ has already been named. The beauty about this is still actually a model of missions. That you preach, you plant, and then you raise leader. Raise pastors in that place and allow them to flourish. It's actually talking about leadership development. And lastly, the premise of mission. He quotes from Isaiah, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. And it will only happen when we preach the gospel.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.